Welcome to Campus 8's Expert Outlook podcast. In this brand new series, we are going to explore the consumer behaviours set to disrupt and define 2022, learning directly from our network of industry experts and cultural insiders. I'm Lucy, and I look after all things membership at Campus 8, and this episode is hosted by our Content Strategy Director, the amazing Cara Melchers. So, grab your headphones, get comfortable, and let's get going.
Hi everyone, I'm Cara. I'm Content Strategy Director here at Campus 8, and I've been leading the Expert Outlook research this year. With us today, we have Joanna Blakely. Thank you so much for being here. And I wonder if you could just start by introducing yourself.
Sure. I'm Joanna Blakely. I'm the Managing Director at the Norman Lear Center, which is a think tank at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism. And I've been here since it launched in 2000.
Amazing. Well, yeah, thank you so much. And Joanna is back with us today to talk specifically about the contrarian mindset. So before I dive into asking you questions, I'm going to give everybody listening a quick recap on who this mindset is. So the contrarian, not wanting to take life too seriously, people are doing me and owning their contradictions. So not everyone is out to change systems or redefine cultural norms. For many, the only way to deal with the state of the world is with a dose of quirky camp and totally unapologetic humour. I have a couple of questions around the mindset. So we know the contrarian lives for today and prioritises seeking out unique moments and experiences they can talk about on social media. So I'm just interested, what do you think will be the most talked about media and entertainment next year?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a piece of entertainment that comes from a market other than the United States. I think there's a good chance that there'll be another Squid Games on our horizon, some show that just defies all genre formats that we're familiar with and immerses us in a culture that may seem quite foreign to English speakers. And I think Netflix is probably going to be the outlet that releases it. And I think it's a fantastic thing, especially when viewers have a chance to hear a little bit about the backstory. And when shows like this become phenomena that you have to check out because it's on social media all the time, you may have had no interest in watching a wacky Korean comedy drama, but you did it because, you know, a lot of people were talking about it on social media and you wanted to be part of the conversation. Then you find out about income inequality in Korea and how unions are actually embracing the iconography of this show and staging protests where they're dressed up like the contestants in Squid Games. So that's where I think entertainment plays such an interesting role in global society, is that it gives people a common parlance to talk about really serious issues in the real world. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the big phenomenon next year is something, you know, as radical as that.
Great. And actually, one of the attributes of this mindset is this fear of missing out. And you said that, you know, one of the reasons people might have bought into that series is because they wanted to be part of the conversation. So would you say that was kind of the primary reason why that series like had success?
Well, no, I think there had to be some critical mass first. And so I think a lot of people who gave it a shot realized immediately that this was a very unique piece of entertainment. And so it required conversation to sort of unpack and discuss. And so I think also Netflix has a really powerful way of marketing their own materials. They decided ahead of time that Squid Games was going to be huge. And so if they put that on the splash screen and they put it right up front in people's feeds, a lot of people are going to be exposed to it. But that doesn't mean they're going to watch it all. And this is a very wacky, strange show. So I think it's really that combination of excellent marketing, people got hooked, enough people talked about it that many, many people like myself who would never watch a show like that felt compelled to do so. And a lot of them obviously found it really, really engaging as well.
Yeah, definitely. Would you say there are lessons within that that, say, brands outside of, you know, a streaming service could take on board if they wanted to potentially like elevate a message?
Yeah, I think gravitating toward entertainment that really engages with real social issues is the smart play. Because what brands are basically trying to do is, through a kind of parasitic relationship, gather attention that's accrued around an entertainment product and get those people to become interested in a brand. And a brand is something that operates in the real world. It's usually something that you purchase. It's something that affects your life through purchasing. And so if that piece of entertainment has firm connections to the real world that viewers can understand, it's not a piece of escapism, right? It's something that's making a commentary on lived life. Maybe not on your life, maybe on people's lives that you've never considered before. But I think it's that kind of programming, whether it's comedic or dramatic, fictional or documentary, it's those kinds of entertainment programming that I think brands should gravitate toward if they want an engaged audience who actually changes their behavior based on their exposure to this piece of entertainment.
So our contrarian loves spending time on social media and values relatability above all in the people that they follow. What social media platforms would you say are the ones to watch next year? I mean, particularly for discussing pop culture. And what trends are we expecting to see on these platforms?
Well, I think pop culture is a central touchstone on every social media platform because it's a common parlance. It's something that people can, it's something that strangers can refer to and connect with one another through. So I doubt that you could look at any piece of any social media platform and say, oh, pop culture doesn't really play a role here. It plays a role on every single one. It's just there are very different affordances on each of these platforms. So obviously you have to try to do different things in order to take advantage of the affordances of different platforms. But one thing that I know I keep seeing even among my staff is a kind of dismissal of Facebook as a social media platform, though it is by far the largest social media platform in the world. And ignoring it, I think, is ridiculous. And pretending that just because Mark Zuckerberg may seem like, an unlikable guy is not enough reason to presume that Facebook is not a great place to meet people and to engage people with your brand.
And what might a brand go to Facebook for next year?
Well, Facebook is probably the very best place on earth to do micro niche audience targeting. I can't think of any other database in the universe that tells you more about humans and their predilections. So it's really easy on Facebook, if you know what you're doing, to actually reach people, a global population, not just a national or local populace or English speaking, but really a global population who, through your research, you know, is predisposed to your message. So I guess my big point is that we should not dismiss Facebook. That would be just idiotic. And I know the brands probably know that, but that's not kind of the chatter on the street, as it were.
That's interesting. Great. So not wanting to miss out, you're likely to find our contrarian hanging out in the metaverse. But how can brands create unique experiences in these virtual spaces that potentially could be followed through into the real world?
Well, that is crucial, I think. that the experience is so profound that it ends up changing real world behavior. So I'd say not only for this group, which is very self-consciously seeking out those special, unique experiences to be able to talk about them on social media, even people who are not necessarily as predisposed to talk a lot about what they're doing and what they're experiencing, they too should have an experience in the metaverse that translates into some sort of real world action. Obviously, brands want something like that because they want purchasing behavior to occur outside of the metaverse. But also, I think for entertainment brands who want to make sure that they're really deeply engaging fans in their work should want people to have the kinds of experiences in the metaverse that nudge them to do something in the real world, not just buying something, but maybe attending some kind of event or checking out something that's happening in their local community. It doesn't necessarily have to be a physical translation. It's not that it only works if you end up meeting the person in person that you enjoyed in the metaverse. That's not it exactly. It's more that you're finding your community, you're finding your tribe. And that has all kinds of implications in terms of purchasing behavior and social behavior and life behavior. So I think you can chalk up victories for the metaverse really based upon that sort of translation into real life.
Brilliant. What would you say going into 2022 might be interesting to look out for within media and entertainment and this mindset?
Well, I think for this group in particular, which has a sense of humor, I think that they would really gravitate toward brands that have an ability to hit that funny bone in exactly the right way. And I think these days, what we're really thinking about in media and entertainment is the kind of humor that is savvy, that reflects an understanding of human nature and our issues and our troubles, but isn't savage. It's not mean-spirited. There's a place for that, of course. But looking at the Dave Chappelle crisis and looking at the success of a show like Ted Lasso and Schitt's Creek, which just came out of nowhere for the industry, I think that it was a wake-up call for them, and they now understand that, okay, I don't have to provide a maximum amount of sex and violence in order to attract eyeballs. I can actually do it through self-consciously humorous content that really tries to shed a light on human connection and human happiness and doing the right thing. I think there's a lot of people who get energized by that kind of message and are really attracted to that kind of humor.
Definitely. Great. That was brilliant. There's so many takeaways from that. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
To wrap up, here are three key takeaways from today's session. Firstly, the contrarian prioritizes unique and shareable experiences. And the next year, these are likely to come through media and entertainment that engages with real social issues. Like Squid Game, people will use the iconography of these shows online and in the real world as a way of signalling how they feel. Secondly, for the contrarian, pop culture is a central touchstone on every social media platform. Brands are understanding that they don't have to provide a maximum amount of sex and violence to attract eyeballs. Instead, humour that sheds light on human connection, human happiness, and doing the right thing will get people energised. And finally, not wanting to miss out, you're likely to find our contrarian hanging out in the metaverse. For entertainment brands who want to deeply engage fans, an experience in the virtual world should be so profound that it changes real-world behaviour. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time when we'll be discussing a different mindset.
Thanks for listening. I hope this episode has helped you to understand a key mindset to watch out for in the coming year, be it the culture steward, the system skeptic, or the contrarian. You can check out the full Expert Outlook research report via our website at canvas8.com. See you next time.